Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks again for downloading Today We Learned. This is episode 10. Today We Learned number 10. Thanks for sticking around if you've listened to the rest. And if you are just joining us today, welcome. This episode is once again brought to you by HostGator. HostGator is the best place to get a website. They offer premium web hosting at low costs. Grab a .net. .nets are the best way to get a killer domain nowadays that aren't 180 characters. I feel like anytime I want to buy a domain, it's always like if I get a .com, it's always all the good things are taken. So .nets are the best way to get your get what you want. Get a .net. HostGator offers 24/7, 365 phone, chat, and email support. They can assist you. If you have a problem, they can help. HostGator also offers hosting for any size website with shared VPS and dedicated servers. I don't know what that means. I'm not a scientist, but all my computer friends say that is amazing. That's really cool that HostGator can do that. So another plus for HostGator. They can also move your site for you if you want to transfer it. So if you're hosting your website somewhere else and you're not happy, HostGator will move it for you. So don't wire, like, just have HostGator hosted at HostGator. If you don't like where you're at, they can change it. They can move it for you. So HostGator, another plus. So yeah, that sounds like a lot of good things about HostGator. So why don't you just head over to HostGator? As soon as you're done listening to this, go over to HostGator. Head over to HostGator.com, buy some hosting, get some .nets, and use the coupon code LEARNED30. Once again, that's LEARNED, then the number's 30. And use that coupon code to get an extra 30% off and help support the show. And we want to thank you for supporting this show, and thank you for listening. This episode, Today We Learn Number 10, our guest is Lewis Peitzman. He's a senior editor over at BuzzFeed, everybody's favorite listing website. BuzzFeed's one of my favorite sites I tend to go to. They always crack me up, and they always got funny lists, and they just got a lot of cool stuff over at BuzzFeed. And Lewis was a great guest. He's a friend of ours, and this was a fun show. So yeah, I'll stop blabbering about all this stuff and let you listen to it. So here we go. Today we learned number 10.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
All right, guys, welcome back to another fun-filled, exciting episode of Today We Learned. I'm your host, Dan Casey.
And my name is Razzle.
And we have a very exciting guest in the studio with us today. We have Lewis Peitzman from BuzzFeed. He's a senior editor over there. Lewis, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So, yeah, usually we ask our guests to bring a fact about themselves, about something they learned recently, and as I understand it, you have a fact that comes straight from BuzzFeed.
I do. I have lots of facts from BuzzFeed because it's a very informative site. But my colleague Adam Berry recently did a long oral history of the movie Clue, which is one of my favorites.
It's a very good
course.
And I learned a couple interesting things. One was that there's a fourth ending of Clue, like a lost fourth ending.
Really?
That was never filmed, or was partially filmed. They don't really know. It's mysterious, but there is a fourth ending.
Okay.
Because there are three alternate endings.
Yeah.
And when it was in theaters, they all ran, different theaters had different endings.
Yeah.
And now when you watch it, it's all the...
it's just one after the other.
Right. There's a fourth ending.
Do we know what happens in the fourth ending? Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the fourth ending.
You're never going to see it, but just in case you want to hold out.
Yeah.
No, it's Wadsworth the Butler did it, and then poisons everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's attacked by dogs, I believe, at the end.
Of course. You got to have a little button on there.
Yeah.
Poisons everyone.
Yeah.
It's a darker ending.
Suddenly dogs. It's more steeped in the gritty realism that they were going for.
Right.
There was also a alternate ending to Pacific Rim.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it's the robots poison everyone.
Yeah.
It's a good win.
Yeah, then Charlie Hunnam is attacked by dogs.
Dogs swim underwater and attack the robots.
I would watch that movie.
I mean, here's the thing. I would watch any movie with the robots. Like, people, like, I like Transformers, and people shit on Transformers. I watch it.
My question, going back to Pacific Rim for a second, is if that sword was so effective, why didn't they just start with that?
They had
to have known.
Well, supposedly, so I was talking to a friend of mine who's seen it a couple times, and he said that they referenced the fact that they refurbished that one.
Okay. Yeah,
and they added the sword. But if they added the sword to that one, wouldn't you add the sword to them all?
It was more an aesthetic choice.
Yeah.
Like adding a spoiler.
Here's the thing about Pacific Rim. I haven't seen it.
Oh.
So this is all nonsense to me.
Okay.
Gotcha. But now I know what's going to happen.
You haven't seen it. You haven't seen Pacific Rim. You should see it.
I was watching Clue over and over again. I have no time to see anything else.
You like very Clue. I noticed you have a Carrie t-shirt on. Is that for the new one?
This is for Carrie the Musical.
Oh, okay.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Is that a...
much more important to me than the reboot.
Yeah. No, is that like where she kills everybody to the musical, or is that a different Carrie?
That must be...
No, it's Carrie the Musical. It's based on the movie and the book.
Okay.
It was a huge flop, and they revived it recently because now we appreciate flops for what they are.
Yeah. So they're just like trying to cash on the schlock value, like.
Yeah, I mean it's like Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay.
But she kills everyone at the end.
Of course.
Yeah. With poison and dogs.
Because I was ideally. Just so this was like a full on Broadway production. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Because I was picturing. I know there's some shows in Los Angeles. Like there's a Point Break Live where an audience member plays the role of Keanu Reeves just by reading the script. They have like Reanimator the Musical. So I wasn't sure if it was just like a little like black box theater situation or a Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark type fiasco.
No, it's an actual like terrible music. I mean, I don't know if it's actually terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go well.
It's no Cats.
It's no Cats, although Betty Buckley from Cats played Carrie's mother.
Really?
That's a fact.
What a jellical surprise.
Well, speaking of movies and all that stuff,
yeah,
here's a fun fact for you guys. Die Hard 3,
mm-hmm.
DH3 with a vengeance, was actually it was a repurposed proposal for a Lethal Weapon sequel. It was originally supposed to be a Lethal Weapon sequel, then they reconverted it to DH3.
Riggs and Murtaugh were getting too old for that shit, apparently.
What happened with the most recent Die Hard? Was that also repurposed? Because seemed like it was not a Die Hard movie.
That was repurposed from Grown Ups 3.
Grown Ups 3.
Grown Ups Expendables crossover.
Grown Ups 3, the nukes in the basement.
Yeah.
Like that... that... If, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen DH5, don't. it's a giant... It's not... First of all, it's like 93 minutes when every other Die Hard is like 120 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 40... Do the math. There's like 30 to 40 minutes of story development that they just decided to not use. And it's just essentially one giant chase scene through Russia where there's no reason for it. Like, there's no... Like, Bruce Willis and his kid, they have no... Like, they're not trying to save anybody. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, reason... They could... Like, Bruce Willis eventually even says in the movie, he's like, we could just leave. Like, there's nothing at stake here. We have nothing at stake here. Why don't we just leave?
Well, as long as you acknowledge that, it's fine.
It was,
you should keep going.
Oh, man.
But my question is, would you have enjoyed it more if there were more exposition?
No. That's
like, would it be better if there were 40 more minutes?
I think, if anything, that was like a mercy killing for the audience. Like, hey, guys, we are sorry about this. If it helps, we took out 40 minutes that could have been in there.
If the 40 minutes had story development and plot with, like, maybe they kidnap somebody's girlfriend or daughter, or they were, you know, kidnap the president or something. I mean... Olympus Has Fallen would have been a good Die Hard movie. Like, there's movies that have came out recently that would have been better. Like, there's just, it's all one giant chasing. The minute Bruce Willis gets into Russia, he knows how to drive through Russian streets, and he knows the maps, and he's just phenomenal at driving, and there's no cops anywhere.
He keeps saying, I'm on vacation,
yeah,
while he's murdering tons of Russian civilians.
Yeah.
Like, he causes crazy car crashes. It's the Man of Steel kind of scenario where you're like, wow, there's a lot of innocent people dying.
Yeah.
Oh, well, let's follow this guy.
Well, he was doing it for a purpose.
Yeah.
You just don't know what that purpose is.
Exactly. Reckless tourism.
There's a lot of story you can include in 40 minutes that would make me believe that. And then at the end, it's like they're at Chernobyl or whatever, and the mad scientist guy's like, oh, this was all a plan because I want to get to the basement where there's nukes. How have we not? How did nobody know there was mm-hmm. a secret passage with nukes? Like, we've got X-ray equipment, we've got all sorts of. I mean, we can tell if there's water on planets light years away. I'm pretty sure we've noticed if there was like a secret wall hidden in this condemned building. And then they just are waltzing around without like suits on or anything like that, breathing everything.
Well, so there's an alternate ending where everyone dies from radiation poisoning.
then
that's when Chernobyl Diaries starts.
Yeah,
great.
Anyways,
movie.
Yeah, Die Hard 5 was bad.
Another fun fact about something that was supposed to be something else. By the way, Die Hard 3 was originally entitled Simon Says, which you may have guessed from the fact that they talk about that in the movie.
Yeah.
But Friends was actually repurposed from unproduced Seinfeld scripts.
I'll get out of town.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's pretty interesting.
Like terrible episodes of Seinfeld?
Yeah, they were just never made.
And I like Friends a lot, but I just feel like it's a very different show.
Mm-hmm. The one where they add two more members to the core group, and then, you know... go to a coffee shop.
Well, I think Phoebe seemed to me like the kind of character who would like work on most shows for an episode or two, mm-hmm. and then you'd realize that she's like insane and awful.
She'd be Jerry's girlfriend of the week or two.
Right, but the fact that there's a whole series with her is actually kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm. I feel like
she made the cut.
Especially like Phoebe's kind of like the quirky, like I could definitely see Phoebe being the Kramer. Like she's always got those weird ideas and she's, you know, kind of hippie-ish. And then Kramer's trying to build levels in his apartment. I feel like, levels, Jerry, levels.
I feel like they split Kramer into Joey and Phoebe.
Yeah.
Well, I do appreciate the fact that like, Seinfeld Friends is a show about people who are awful to each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be friends, but, like, you would never want to hang out with these people. They're all horrible.
Yeah.
Well, the working title was Total Dicks.
And that would have been a great title.
Yeah. But America wasn't ready for it. So it was, before HBO could get away with that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when did Friends come out? 92? 92, 93,
somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the, back in the early 90s.
Here's the thing. Here's something completely unrelated to television. I'm a huge fan of candy. I don't know if anybody here, everybody likes,
everyone loves candy.
Everybody loves candy. Who doesn't
even
love
diabetic
candy?
People love candy.
The, Three Musketeers, a lot of people are like, think that the name derived from, you know, the book.
Dumas classic.
The Dumas book, yeah. Dumas, I don't know how to pronounce it. Yeah. I don't read
it. It's all
things.
Good. You know who we're talking
about.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about. Anyways, the Three Musketeer candy originally, when it first unveiled, was three flavors, and it was split up into, like, three miniature bars. It was kind of like the fun-size candy bars that was packaged in there. And they were vanilla, strawberry, and chocolate. But in World War II, they apparently... vanilla and strawberry flavoring became hard to come by, so they just switched it all to chocolate. And it's been all chocolate ever since.
Interesting.
Which is,
why did they need so much vanilla and strawberry flavoring to beat Jerry back over in Europe?
That's what I don't get.
I thought we were rationing chocolate.
Yeah. Like if anything, that I feel like chocolate would be the hardest one to find.
Yeah. We need to conserve rubber tires and strawberry flavoring.
So here's how it went down. Hitler took strawberry and vanilla flavored Three Musketeers from us, but he gave the world Fanta Cola, as we learned recently.
Fanta Cola was actually it was made in a Coca-Cola plant, and they couldn't ship.
They couldn't sell Coke products in Germany because they didn't want to tarnish the company's American image. So what they did is they created Fanta Orange, aka Nazi juice.
So can I still drink Fanta, or am I supporting...
Only if you want it.
If you support Fantaside, then yes.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I mean, those jet skis looked pretty fun, according to the commercial.
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
I would do that. I would jet ski. I want a jet ski with soda coming out of a jetpack.
Wait, so where can I get the original Three Musketeers? Is there a Kickstarter?
You can get a time machine to go back before World War II. Get a time machine, and then you can do
that. I'll bet there's, like, a weird old candy website. Because I found a weird old soda website because I was trying to order cans of Pepsi Jazz for a friend of mine.
Pepsi
Don't ask
Jazz.
Why.
What is that?
Do you remember Pepsi Jazz? Pepsi Jazz was a short-lived imprint of the Pepsi label.
I remember Josta. You guys remember Josta?
Josta? I do not remember Josta. Pepsi Jazz was from 2006 to 2009. It was, like, sort of diet stuff. Yeah, it was like diet. It was... like, they had black cherry and French vanilla, or strawberries and cream, or caramel cream. You know, three jazzy flavors that will drive the people wild.
What about Coke Black? Can you get that?
Coke Black? Was that the one with the coffee in
it? That's the coffee and cola. It's delicious.
Yeah, I remember I had that, like, I had that one time. I was like, this is not bad. And then I never spoke of that again.
You need it once, and that's pretty much enough, but...
You just need to know. I just know why you can't even find vanilla Coke anywhere. I feel like they're just limiting themselves with Coke Zero and...
Vanilla Coke. Vanilla Coke was a huge thing like 2 years ago, wasn't it? So they're cutting down on that, apparently.
Maybe, I think all the special flavorings now are in Oreos.
Yeah.
So they don't have... watermelon Oreos.
Oh, dude, they got peanut butter Oreos, and I'm a huge fan of peanut butter.
I hate peanut butter.
Oh, I love
you
peanut
do?
Butter.
You are... Well, I know other people who hate it as well.
I love peanut butter so much.
I don't support
much.
That worldview.
My nephews are allergic to peanuts, and that... upsets me so much. Like, it that sucks. Like, I love
all the more for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love peanuts.
Well, I'm allergic to cats, but I still like looking at pictures of them.
Yeah.
Can you appreciate a picture of a nice, like, spread of extra crunchy?
I mean, I'm sad that I can't enjoy peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
fair.
There are so many ways you can make it, as I also learned on BuzzFeed. There are, like, peanut butter sandwich hacks, so you can do, like, cool things with peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah,
and it's all lost on me.
Yeah, I seen one of those. One of those is you can make, like, Which I want to consume peanut butter and jelly as fast as possible. I don't want to sit and tinker around with making my bread look like sushi rolls with peanut butter and jelly. I just want to eat the peanut butter and jelly.
Well, fake sushi is fun to look at. There's lots of foods you can make into sushi, but I would never bother making it because I'm going to eat it in like 3 seconds.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, all right, great. Now this is just ideal for just throwing it into my mouth at light speed.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Speaking of food here we go. I'm looking at a thing on ABC News from 2008, an article talking about movie popcorn, movie theater popcorn. And the average cost of movie theater popcorn per ounce costs more than a filet mignon steak, believe it or not.
Which is pretty upsetting. It's all about the markup.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to spend around, what, like $5.50, $6 for popcorn.
I feel like I should be surprised by that, but I'm not.
No, it's just one of those things that we've grown accustomed to, unfortunately.
I think the bigger indignity is paying like $5 for a box of candy.
Yeah.
Knowing that you could go outside and buy the same box of candy for $1.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always, especially if there's a convenience store anywhere near the theater, you're just like, why am I doing this to myself?
But popcorn seems special.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like paying for the experience of getting so popcorn at the movies.
Popcorn is so good. This, this chick I was talking to the other day hip me to this. I haven't tried this yet, but it sounds really delicious. But it also sounds kind of gross. She eats popcorn. She'll make chocolate milk. Then she'll dip salted popcorn, not buttered. She'll dip salted popcorn in chocolate milk and then eat it.
That sounds great.
Which it sounds really good because it's salty and sweet.
I can see it.
I don't know about the texture, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want soggy milk popcorn.
Well, you don't get it soggy. Like, you don't just dump, you know, gallons of chocolate milk on it. You just dip it to where you get, like, to almost like when you put butter, fresh butter on popcorn before it can soak into it and soggy it.
You know? You put a chocolate milk patty on there.
I mean, because...
Or just a thin veneer.
Because if you've ever had, like M&M's in popcorn, it's really delicious.
Yeah.
Or, like, Milk Duds and popcorn
is like,
really delicious.
I feel like a good happy medium would be that magic shell stuff that you just squirt it on there and it becomes an adamantium chocolate exoskeleton for whatever you're eating.
I feel like you just get a huge ball of popcorn.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
If you're trying to find a way to make your popcorn, like, more luxurious, then I don't feel like you'd turn away from eating a giant popped corn grenade.
Yeah, not at all. More per ounce. That's the thing, too, is I mean, it's per ounce, like, before it's cooked, I imagine. So it's not
it's about 10 cents per ounce, according to the study cited in this article, by the way.
For popcorn?
For popcorn, yeah. Not filet mignon, unless there's something you're not telling us about filet mignon.
But imagine eating a filet mignon amount of popcorn, like that weight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I think it sounds a lot better. When you realize that's how much it would weigh, I think we're okay with how much we pay for popcorn.
It's like, when you open like a bag of chips and it's like 90% air. And you're like, well, all right, well.
Yeah, like you don't...
You win this round, Frito-Lay.
Like that'd be like one chew, one bite for like, give me $5.50 worth of filet mignon, please.
How much will this get me?
Yeah. It's like getting fudge at, like, anytime you go to this, you know, you go to a tourist destination, they got that fudge on the street.
The local fudgery.
Like, and it's all, like, $15 per pound or whatever. And it's just like, man, I could eat this in, like, 8 minutes. I'm not going to drop $15
on it. But you're paying for the fudge experience.
Oh, it's so fudge.
Street fudge.
Yeah. Street fudge, I guarantee
sounds like
you.
Black market fudge.
Street fudge is going to be, like, the next buzz band. Coming out of Brooklyn in the next 2 to 5 years.
Street fudge.
So let's jump back to the fun world of celebrities. You know, there's a lot of celebrity artists on BuzzFeed.com. I'm trying to make this segue work any way I can. Did you know? BuzzFeed. There we go. Say it 3 times. It'll appear in your browser.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So George Clooney, you know, he's employed as being professionally handsome.
Yeah.
Before he was an actor, he sold suits for a living, he cut tobacco out in the fields for a living, and he tried out for the Cincinnati Reds, but unfortunately he was cut during the first round of player cuts.
Well, fortunately for us.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise we would never have, which Batman was he in?
Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Batman and Robin.
I still have the embeveled mugs from McDonald's that they gave away around that time.
That's
the last ones.
I used to work at a pool store, like a swimming pool store, and I used to vacuum pools and all that. What did you guys, like when you were young, growing up or whatever, I mean, we're still growing up essentially as far as I'm concerned, but what kind of jobs did you guys have starting off? Because it's really not that, all that rare. You know, I was watching the James Franco roast last night, and apparently his first job was at McDonald's.
Oh, really?
So it's, everybody's everybody starts somewhere, I guess.
I feel like he's probably still working there, though, as like an experiment. Yeah, yeah,
his
social
his
experiment.
Newest thesis project.
Started from the bottom, now we're here, right? How's that song go?
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I used to be a bank teller, and let me tell you, old people love state quarters. They love them. Much so that a woman used to come in and give me a list of them to, like, track down. Like, I need 3 Minnesotas, 4 North Dakotas.
I had that map with, like, the holes where you put every state quarter. And I realized when I was, like, filling it out that by the time I got to the end, I'd be too old to care about this.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it never happened.
That's pretty, I know exactly how you feel, but it's also kind of depressing that you're like, oh, I'm just going to give up before this even starts.
When I think about, like, I think about all the money that is spent on changing the mints and the presses and the mold, and why? Like, I don't understand how much, like, we're in so much debt as it is, and we're just dropping all this money to manufacture designs of money.
Well, let me ask you this. What's cooler, a boring old eagle on the back, or like, I don't know, a dude in the Lexington massacre, or what's on the back of these?
I feel like
quarters?
the quarters teach history like oatmeal packets taught about dinosaurs.
You learn just
like,
enough.
I learned everything I know about dinosaurs from the back of oatmeal packets as a kid.
Yeah, you add water and they grow into little sponge creatures.
Now quarters are teaching me about like massacres and like what crops Hawaii is famous for.
Yeah, Georgia has a nice little peach emblazoned back there.
I knew that already, though. I'm going to learn something new.
Yeah, well, the new round, it's going to be Tyler Perry's face.
Yeah,
yeah, awesome. Superimposed on Ludacris's body.
Ludacris is the Dirty South, and these quarters are going to be worth 25 cents.
But I have some other cool celebrity people that they did before them.
Absolutely.
John Hamm used to be a set dresser for adult films before he was a madman.
Not surprising at all.
Yeah, no. He said it was mainly just moving like ashtrays and stuff around.
John Hamm used to be an acting teacher.
Yeah, he actually taught Ellie Kemper from The Office.
From The Office.
Yeah. Cindy Crawford.
Okay.
She used to shuck corn at a local fair.
Okay.
Kurt Vonnegut used to manage a Saab dealership.
Okay.
If you can imagine that.
Sure.
Most existential Saab dealership of all time.
Saab dealership.
Sylvester Stallone used to clean lion cages. That's something that it was burned into my brain because growing up, our local theater, they would always show like little bits of trivia before the movie started, and they didn't change the trivia for like 15 plus years. So every time it was like, did you know that Sylvester Stallone used to clean lion cages? Yes.
Man. I love movie trivia.
I want that movie.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie.
They don't do that anymore, and it drives me nuts.
No, they have ads now.
Yeah.
They realize they can make money off of it.
Put an ad at the top. Like, I don't care if there's like a little banner at the top, but I want, like, entertain me.
What do you want? What do you think they'd want to sell tied to Sylvester Stallone cleaning lion cages?
Maybe like McGillicuddy's brand cage cleaner.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think. Like
Muscle Milk?
Yeah.
Muscle Milk presents, did you know Sylvester Stallone used to clean
Stallone
lion.
Facts.
Stallone Facts.
Just like all Sylvester Stallone facts.
Yeah, welcome to Stallone Zone.
It's all Expendables 3 just pays for the ads across. It's their trailer. Like the new trailer for Expendables 3 is just Stallone Facts.
I mean, people are going to see it anyway. Might as well inform them.
I'm excited.
Yeah, they're adding some exciting
Harrison
new folks.
Ford's in it.
Yeah. How long, though, do you think Harrison Ford's actually going to be in it? Like
4 minutes.
Yeah, like I'm guessing like 4 to 5 minutes. He'll be like the guy. He'll be just like in like a van, like enhance. All right, he's over there.
Well, I'm pretty sure you could put Harrison Ford in any movie at this point because he's really stoned.
Yeah,
he'll pretty much do whatever.
Yeah,
put him down.
I went to a taping of Conan shortly after I moved out here a couple years ago, and he was the guest, and he could not stop rubbing his pant legs.
I remember that.
It must have been the most amazing feeling in the world. They weren't even corduroy; it was just jeans. Must have been pretty.
It's
soft,
either
though.
Just weed or Molly or something.
Yeah, exactly.
He's having a great time.
I mean, Expendables 3, I'm excited for. I like all those dumb, shitty movies. Like, they know what they are. Like, they're B-movies. They got a budget. Let's make a fun action movie. Where, you know, it's not going to be... Like, Fast 6, Fast and the Furious 6 was amazing. And, it knew what it was. Like, it's like, you know, the script's going to be bad, but it's going to be funny. It's going to be action-packed. There's going to be a runway that's 26 miles long.
I really came around on that series. They lost me for a bit, then they won me back.
What did they lose you, Tokyo Drift?
No, Tokyo Drift was so preposterous that it sort of brought me back into the fold, because it was like, this is so shitty, it could be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Tokyo Drift was their attempt at, you know, franchising out the series a little bit. But it all ties back. If you look closely in Fast and the Furious 6, the timeline is falling into place.
Yeah.
And that's why it's overly complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then Kurt Russell, they're talking to Kurt Russell to be in Fast and the Furious 7.
Kurt Russell?
Yeah,
Kurt Russell. God.
Snake Plissken himself.
Finally. If he plays Snake Plissken, I will lose my mind.
That would be awesome if they really tied into that. Oh, that'd be cool.
He's going to make more free throws, though. Oh, and one more celebrity job.
Absolutely.
J.D. Salinger, who we all know as being a real chatty Cathy, right? The chatty Cathy of the literature world.
Absolutely.
He was an entertainment director on a Swedish cruise liner, so that meant he had to arrange activities, make sure people were having a good time on the Lido deck, dancing with ladies who didn't have a partner. So, just imagine this crotchety old bastard.
I believe it, because I was just reading the other day. I don't have the links or the actual facts in front of me, but I was reading, and there's a lot of cruise ships, especially like overseas, a lot of foreign cruise ships. They will hire older guys to just hang out on the ship and like flirt with single women and all
real
that.
Real party animals.
Them, you know,
I bet he was really good time. I bet he was really charming. I bet he exhausted all his charm doing that.
Yeah.
And that's why he never did another interview.
That's why he wanted to write about phonies for the rest of his life.
He was like, I'm done.
Speaking of ships,
go on.
Here's the thing. I love how I love how everybody. If you've been listening, this is if you've been listening to the podcast regularly, you'll know how much we love segues and how bad they are. But apparently, the you hang out on a cruise ship, you'll see the sunrise and the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
If you hang out on the International Space Station, you'll see around 15 sunrises and 15 sunsets a day, averaging one every 45 minutes about. And as much as that would be cool like the first three times, I got to imagine at some point it's just like you just pull the shades, pull the blinds, just constant.
Yeah, you're just like, all right, I imagine it sort of diminishes the appeal.
Yeah.
But do you think it would? Like, you're in space. Does space ever become boring?
I feel like you have to get bored after a while, right?
Yeah.
You have limited access to everything because you're in space.
Yeah, the honeymoon period ends, then you realize you're just, like, shitting yourself in a space diaper and eating powdered stuff.
Like, anti-gravity would be fun for, like, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then you're floating.
Yeah.
And it's just irritating.
I mean, at some point, you'd have to really challenge yourself and, like, figure out how to, like, give yourself, like, obstacle courses through anti-gravity, like bouncing off the walls and like through or grabbing.
Well, Commander Hadfield did. Chris Hadfield, the Canadian astronaut, he kept making a bunch of videos. He spent most of his time on Reddit, which is funny. He's all the way in space and
he
keeps going on Reddit.
I've seen those.
And he made an awesome cover music video of David Bowie's Space Oddity.
Is he the guy? There's a guy who's on the space station too who will answer questions like what happens when you cry.
That was him.
That
was him. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And now he's back on Earth.
Back on Earth.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Put it in the misquoted Independence Day in parlance.
So he had the internet up in space. That had to be like, that's where all internet essentially is up in space.
Yeah.
So he has,
there's cold chunks of lolcats just floating around.
I wonder how fast his, like, how fast, who is his service provider?
Yeah, right.
And who do you call when that goes down?
Yeah.
It's, hey, Houston, can you reset the router? It is behind the fridge.
That's funny. Speaking of space, here's something. Australia, I have it written down here. Australia was the seventh nation to launch a satellite into space, and Australia was also the third to launch a satellite from its own soil. So it was the third to launch it from its own soil, but seventh to launch it overall, which means
so four nations who shall remain nameless.
We're
just
name
piggybacking
names.
Off the resources of other people.
Other people's success. That's all I'm saying.
I'm still impressed with Australia.
Yeah.
I'm proud of them. They were a penal colony.
Yeah, right?
And look how far they've come.
Look at what these prisoners did. The people in the Philippines, they learned how to dance on the internet. But Australia, they managed to launch a satellite.
A satellite. I haven't been to Australia, but I want to go to Australia.
Yeah, despite all the horror stories and, like, things about, like, oh, yeah, the country is just carpeted with poisonous spiders that launch dingoes and snakes at you. I would still like to go.
Yeah. Okay, no, I don't want to go to Australia.
I want to try an authentic Bloomin' Onion.
Yeah, yeah.
Their national delicacy, if Outback is to be believed.
While we're on the topic of space, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys have seen this, but I don't know if the listeners have been hip to this or not, but the government has officially, as of like a couple weeks ago, the government has officially acknowledged that Area 51 is a thing.
Did anyone doubt this?
They came out and admitted that Area 51 is a thing, which essentially means that all the cool shit is now somewhere else.
Of course, yeah. It's, you know, they're gonna turn it into a museum at some point.
I would not be satisfied unless Brent Spiner with long hair was hanging out there being super creepy.
That's how I feel about most government black sites.
This is how, and this
Brent
is how,
Spiner needs to be there.
Exactly, in some capacity.
This is how dumb I am. Like, I can think some dumb things. I'll admit how the thoughts in my brain upset me sometimes. Like, first off, here just to give you an example of the dumb things that I will think of. I was driving on the Highway 10 the other day, and I'm driving, and I see an airplane, a passenger jet, up in the sky, and it's like I'm going like 70 miles an hour, and I literally, for like 2 seconds, said to myself, I'm like, oh, I'm catching up to this plane. I said that.
If only there was one of those ramps.
Like,
there.
There's, like, that plane is clearly going faster than 70 miles an hour, but in my brain, I see this, and I thought that for a minute, and then I just shook my head. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Don't think that. This is how dumb I am, too, is Area 51 is also known as Groom Lake. It's built by Groom Lake in Nevada, and, I learned this the other day, too. For some reason, I always thought that all these Air Force bases were built by, like, dead lakes because it was easy to get under and hide stuff under. But that's stupid. Why would you, like, no, that's not. The reason why all these Air Force bases and all that build next to these dry lake beds is because most of them are level, and they act as, like, extra runway in case they need runway to land and do all testing and all that.
So. Yeah, I never even thought about any of that. So you're still a step ahead with your weird theory.
Yeah, I just thought they were looking for, like, a built-in mass grave site in case they had to. Just like, I don't know, well, this place is shut down and you're all fired.
There's also a lake while we're talking about lakes, I don't have the actual names or anything. This podcast has facts, and then it's got, I've heard this.
It's got facts. Today we glossed.
today we heard something. There's a lake by Saudi Arabia and all that, a dried up salt lake bed that a satellite, I can't remember which satellite, but it'll use that to calibrate the white light testing because it's so bright and reflects the sun so much. It uses that to calibrate the lighting, the reflection of the light.
And that's where Area 51 is now.
Yeah, they moved it overseas to Area 51.
We're outsourcing everything these days, guys.
Area 51, do you got it? Yeah,
I don't have Area 51 was also a video game console or cabinet that they had in many movie theater lobbies. Speaking of video games,
okay, here we
Nintendo,
go.
Popular purveyor of everything from Mario to Zelda, they weren't always in the video game business. The company's over 100 years old.
Okay.
So some of their other ventures before they finally settled on electronic gaming. They made vacuum cleaners for a spell. Okay. They made trading cards, which is their most successful of the things they did, because they clearly know how to make collectible, highly sought-after goods.
Yeah.
They tried making instant rice, which is sort of like instant noodles, but I'm guessing worse. And they also used to run Love Hotels, which, if you don't know, Love Hotels are short-stay hotels in Japan designed for couples to have discreet sex. So you can either go there for a rest or a stay, and many of them are themed after various things. When I was in Japan, I explored a little bit, and there was one that was themed like a castle, one that was themed like Arabian Nights, and my personal favorite, somewhere in Tokyo, I have not found this, but someday I will check it out. There is a Hello Kitty-themed BDSM-centric love hotel, and you walk in, and they have Hello Kitty in, like, a little plush toy in bondage gear and a little glass case in the front room.
I feel like that's, like, that encapsulates all of Japanese culture.
Yeah, that's, like, they need to replace the flag with that image.
The Hello Kitty BDSM hotel.
Yeah.
I do not understand the thing behind Hello Kitty. Like, I don't understand how that is so popular.
Well, until you've been dominated by someone wearing a Hello Kitty mask, you can't really understand.
And she has no mouth, so there's no safe word.
Yeah, very true. Speaking of companies doing other things, I read in the news today, Microsoft is looking to buy Nokia. They offered to buy Nokia. And Nokia actually started off as a paper production plant.
Oh, really?
Nokia was originally, they produced paper. So now they're owned by Microsoft.
And I was also surprised to learn this, but Nokia, which I just presumed wrongly based on the name, that it was Asian in origin, it's actually a Finnish company.
Okay, yeah.
What does Nokia mean?
It means indestructible cell phone.
Finnish pronunciation. It's Finnish. Let's see here. Yeah. It's headquartered in Espoo, Finland. So Espoo is a place. If you didn't know, Espoo is a city. Espoo, there's a city named Espoo. It employs 101,982 people across 120 countries.
Wait, this is... Are you looking at Finland's page?
I'm looking at the Wikipedia for
Nokia
Finland.
Yes, because it says, in modern Finnish, Nokia means soot, and Nokia is its inflected plural. So it's a rarely used word, but I'm guessing it perhaps something to do with soot or...
What's the plural of soot?
Soots.
All right. Seat. Sooty.
Yeah, it's with a little I at the end.
I feel like soot is inherently plural. Like, when would you have a singular soot?
Oh, I have a unit of soot.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a grain of soot.
Here we go. Here's something. While we're talking about, you know, Nokia and all that and how Microsoft is looking to buy Nokia or has purchased Nokia, Bill Gates, obviously, you know, the founder of Microsoft, is offering a grant. Here's something that I wish I was way smarter because I could use $100,000. So if anybody out there is smarter than me, which most of you are, I'm open to starting a Kickstarter or joining business. I'm really clever with names. I can think of names for products. That being said, Bill Gates is offering a grant of $100,000 to anyone who can reinvent the condom to make it less of a mood killer.
What?
So
$100,000.
Yeah, $100,000.
If this initiative is not called Thrill Bill, then they missed a major marketing opportunity.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty.
Yeah, exactly.
Hello Kitty.
There's the answer.
Actually, they did have condoms shaped like Pikachu when I was over there, but they made sure to label not for use because
they had ears on them.
Yeah, little ears. They were like pretty terrifying. Like if you saw that, I would be like, no, put that away. Yeah.
So it's just for like photos.
Yeah, you know, just for your like holiday dick pic snaps.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why Snapchat was invented.
For yeah. Pikachu dick pics.
Yeah,
Pikachu
so you're, it's like cocksplay.
Yeah, Bill Gates, apparently he wants it because, you know, if condoms were more pleasurable and they would be used more, which would cut down on diseases and unwanted pregnancies and all that.
That's so. Definitely a noble cause. I've just never thought about Bill Gates having sex until now.
Yeah, right? Well, now think about it in detail. Think about it in, like, GIF image form.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Just a little cinemagraph of...
And $100,000 isn't even much. Like, I feel like he should be offering, like, he should just buy a condom company and be like, listen, guys, get on this.
Listen, Trojan man.
Like, $100,000, like, condom companies make way more than that in profit, so, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well,
like,
you know, he's hurting for cash.
Yeah, exactly. He's hurting so much that, you know, he's gonna outsource his ventures.
His pleasuring, I guess. I guess he doesn't want to be
like what could they possibly? How are they going to improve this? Like, are they going to add? Are they going to add Wi-Fi to them? Like, what's...
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Well,
I just know that. I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, it'd be nice if they're. I mean, you know, it'd be nice if condoms.
So it's going to be right there for his pleasure, her pleasure, and Bill's pleasure.
Make them easier to put on. That'd be awesome.
It just makes streaming video that goes to Bill Gates' house.
That's funny.
Maybe like a little pedometer as well, so you can know how many calories you burned.
Oh, that's a smart idea.
Yeah, like co-brand for like the fitness set.
They got those vibrating ones.
Is that comfortable to wear?
No.
It depends.
It just sounds heavy.
Yeah. Well, you have to put on the like the N64 Rumble Pack as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is like I'm wondering if Nintendo is done with their whole like sex hotel thing. They could kind of do a condom rebranding.
Yeah.
Nintendo based condoms.
Yeah. You put a condom on the Wiimote to prevent any damage from happening to it.
So there's no actual like human contact anymore. And it's just gonna be machines.
If they decide to market to an adult audience, I bet there would be plenty of people that would like purchase Wario's Jizz Factory or whatever they're
going to
put out.
WarioWare, pronounced, spelled W-E-A-R.
Yeah, what Wario's not wearing.
Yeah. Speaking of Nintendo, I remember reading the NES, Nintendo sold more NES systems than N64 and GameCubes combined.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Which, I mean, if you, you know, keep in mind that was back before you had competition with PlayStations and Xboxes, and you really only had, you know, the Ataris and the Commodore 64s, mm-hmm. and the NES was really revolutionary to video game systems back in the day.
Well, it's still kind of surprising, though, because I feel like, I mean, did parents back then know about Nintendo enough to, like, buy their kids one for the holidays?
Everybody I knew had an NES. Everybody my age had an NES, had a Nintendo.
I feel like they maybe didn't know, but they, like, their kids were in the know, so they just wanted to shut them up.
I'm also wondering how expensive it was.
The NES, my brother and I bought our NES with our birthday money, and I feel like it was, like, $200 or something like that.
Which, with inflation, is, like,
I mean, it was still
money.
Pretty expensive. I mean, you know,
When it first came out, according to Video Game Sales Wiki, the base one, which came with Super Mario Brothers, was $199. But if you wanted the one with Rob, the little robot, the Zapper, and Duck Hunt, that was $250.
Can we look at how much that would be now?
I think, or estimate. I wonder if this is scaled. I think they tried to scale it.
I don't think so. I remember paying like $200 for it. The Nintendo I bought, the package came with the power pad, the Zapper. It came with a cartridge that had Duck Hunt, the World Class Track Meet, and Super Mario Brothers on it.
I have it adjusted for inflation right here. Adjusted for inflation, the NES when it came out in 1986. Today, it would cost about $364.60.
Absolutely, which is comparable to video game systems now anyways.
Yeah, the most expensive one was the Neo Geo, which would have cost, now money, it would have cost $993.65.
Wow.
Which is quite a bit to drop.
I remember, like talking about money and all that, like the video games back then are essentially still very priced the same. Like video games now, I think are like $60. I'm not a gamer.
Yeah, $60 a pop.
I'm not a huge
video gamer.
If
you're getting
one
on launch day, it's going to run you $59.99.
But I remember paying when Super Mario 3 first came out, which was the best-selling video game of all time up until like Halo 2 or very recent, it was surpassed. But I remember when that came out, it costing like $35. I remember going to Target and buying it for it was Target or Kmart, and it was, you know, just came out, and $35 back then was, you know, quite a bit as it is.
Yeah. Especially for
you know,
yeah,
it was,
especially for an enterprising youth.
That was
allowance.
A great game though.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you had the
it inspired such movies as The Wizard.
Well, The Wizard was a giant commercial for it.
Yeah.
So that's
the Power Glove. So bad.
Real quick, here's a fact while we're, you know, talking about video games. This has nothing to do with video games, so we're going to change the subject real quick. Since this is, you know, this is a podcast, which is essentially a newer form of radio shows.
A portable on-demand cast.
Yeah.
POD is an acronym.
Yeah, okay. I did not know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Write that down.
The more you know.
Portable on-demand. Cast?
Apostrophe cast.
What is cast?
You know, like
for
a radio cast. Cast
okay.
is just
broadcast.
Suffix.
Suffix, okay.
Yes.
Well, I knew this, but some of you guys might have not known this, but the U.S. radio call letters that start with W are east of the Mississippi, and the K's are the west of the Mississippi. So that's why, you know, like in Michigan,
it's
W's and
the reason they did this was back in the early 1900s, they were trying to come up with a sort of standardized system, and they pretty much let stations choose whatever they want, and there was a lot of them that just did one letter or two letter call signs, so they wound up with a ton of radio stations that had like a bunch of these stations that had identical call signs, so it was getting out of hand. This dates back to like the days of like telegraph stations and like ships, so they were just trying to make communication easier. So in 1912, Congress empowered the Bureau of Navigation to dole out these call signs, so they just came up with this arbitrary system of, you know, you're going to have K for west of the Mississippi and W for the east.
Okay.
So
this was his fact, and you kind of...
I just made it
a little bit more.
Here's
the
deal. Dan's the brains of this podcast here. I don't think it's a secret. I'm glad I didn't know all of that. I just knew the letters were different because I've lived on both sides of the coast.
Well, I just clicked on the link that you sent me.
Okay, fair enough.
So how did K-Rock get K-Rock? That seems like something that's
the rock of the K's, man.
Because they're west of the Mississippi.
No, I mean, but it seems like that would be a highly sought after radio station.
Yeah,
there.
Well, you know,
it's in Los Angeles.
I guess no one between Los Angeles and the Mississippi was like, oh, we should name our rock and roll station this.
Yeah, but it's also KROQ, right?
Yeah.
There might be
so
a KROK.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there very well could be, I mean,
it's
all pronunciation.
Jay-Z.
You know, it's all that cheesy, however you can figure out how to pronounce your, you know, your call signs to make it sound like mm-hmm. the name of your station.
I like that in my mind, ROQ is like the proper way to spell rock on the radio.
Yeah, it's the acceptable...
K-Rock 101. Right? It's 101?
It's 106.7.
106.7.
101 is K-Earth.
Okay.
It's funny. Back home.
What's 101? Maybe I'm thinking of a... there was a 101 in Orlando when I lived in Orlando. Maybe it's WJRR. I can't remember radio stations. I don't remember. 101. I just remember they're like, you're listening to something.
Back home, 106.7 was a station called Magic. Less talk, more rock. Boston's number one spot for soft rock. Tom Bergeron actually used to be a DJ there.
Tom Bergeron. Yeah. Okay, back to prior actors' jobs.
Yeah, so we brought it back around quite nicely. Unfortunately, yeah. I think we are approaching our time limit for today's episode.
I think we are.
So, Lewis, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
It was very informative.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks for
Is there anything that you'd like to plug? Where can people find you? Where can they interact with you, reach out, and digitally touch you?
Well, aside from BuzzFeed, you can find me on Twitter. My name is Lewis Peitzman there, which is my real name.
Okay.
I can spell it. It's LOUISPEITZMAN.
Cool.
So now you have no excuse for misspelling.
And now you know how to pronounce it, too.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. We'd love to have you back. This is really fun.
Exactly. And thanks for tuning in, people at home. If you have a fact for us, as always, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at TWL Podcast. You can reach out to your lovable host directly at MyNameIsRazzle2, the number 2, or myself at OsteoFerocious. As always, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you learned something.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.